This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. As I tweeted earlier, I'll have a special announcement, and I guess that special announcement is stay tuned for more information on what we're going to have with Game Misconduct. It's also being associated with the Michael Kay Show, and that's the Don LaGreca Bracket Challenge. We're going to have a contest, and who does the best picking the brackets for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, which will be coming up on Wednesday. So we'll have more details on that, some cool prizes. So stay tuned for more details. We'll definitely have all of the information for you either tomorrow or possibly Monday. The playoffs don't start till Wednesday, so I'll give you plenty of time to fill out your brackets. We'll have tickets. We'll have jerseys. A lot of different things will be given away. So definitely participate in that. More information to come. But we got a little bit for you here as we're going to have the Don LaGreca Ice Pick Bracket Challenge. So should be a lot of fun. The NHL kind of changed the format. I've always been saying this, that the main reason why they changed the format the way it is in the playoffs is because I think they like going to NHL.com, having the brackets, a.k.a. Similar to the NCAA tournament brackets, and see if that kind of gains any traction there. I hate the format, by the way, but the one good thing about it is you can have these bracket challenges, so we'll have some fun, and it should be a pretty cool contest throughout the entire length of the postseason. So be able to test your knowledge. I'll be filling out a bracket as well. We'll have a full playoff preview show coming up on Monday. EJ will join us, of course, from NHL Now. You can watch that show between the hours of 4 and 6 Eastern time. So we're looking forward to that. So we'll have a full playoff preview. But we still have to figure out where everybody is right now as far as the playoffs are concerned. Tonight is moving day. There's going to be a lot of big games to decide who's in and who's out. In the Eastern Conference, the Canadiens on the outside looking in. They're chasing after the Hurricanes, the first wild card. They're chasing after the Columbus Blue Jackets, the second wild card. The Canadiens will be in Washington tonight to take on the Capitals. Capitals trying to clinch the division, so the Caps still have something to play for. Montreal needs to win this because they're way behind in row wins, one behind Carolina, three behind Columbus. So they're going to have to beat Columbus outright. They can win a tiebreaker against Carolina, but they do not control their own destiny. Columbus is not going to play again until tomorrow at the Garden against the Rangers. So the Canadiens taking on the Capitals tonight, home against Toronto on Saturday. So the harder schedule certainly belongs to Montreal, but give them credit. They've had some big wins here down the stretch. They beat Winnipeg back on Saturday. So they've faced some adversity, have overcome it. They're really leaning on Carey Price here down the stretch. So that's a big game tonight for the Canadiens against the Capitals in Washington. Hurricanes, they're home for the Devils. Devils out of it, 10 games under NHL 500. So the Hurricanes in an excellent position to march towards the playoffs here. So those are the two teams that are in action. Again, Columbus not playing until tomorrow. So that's huge. Penguins still have a chance to get to second place and home ice advantage. Back end of the home and home against the Detroit Red Wings. They lost the game in Detroit earlier in the week. The Islanders are in Florida to take on the Panthers. The Islanders' last two games are both going to be on the road. Tonight in Florida, in Washington on Saturday. So obviously the Islanders have a chance to win the division. That's still very much up for grabs. But first, a date with the Florida Panthers, and happy birthday to Roberto Luongo, turns 40 today. Leafs locked in. They're going to be taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning, also locked in. The Blues, they earned a point last night. Negative can be, hey, non-playoff team. They had a chance to get 2 points, be squared up with Nashville and Winnipeg in the Central Division. But when you consider the Blues won that game on a goal with forced overtime with a goal with 40 seconds to go, they had to fight tooth and nail to get that 1 point, but still puts them in pretty good position for at least home ice in the Central. So right now, Winnipeg has 96 points, Nashville 96 points, St. Louis with 95. All three teams have played 80 games. All three teams have 41 row wins. So the next tiebreaker will be plus goal differential, which Winnipeg has plus 27. 5 better than Nashville and 8 better than St. Louis. So way, way better for Winnipeg, looks like, to win this division. So Winnipeg is in great shape. Now, Winnipeg is going to be at Colorado tonight. That's also a huge game as the Avalanche look to clinch a playoff berth. All they have to do is earn a point, and they're in. Arizona is going to be at Vegas, so they don't control their own destiny. They're 4 points back. So a lot of work that Arizona has to do. They got to win tonight. They got to win in regulation. They also have to hope that Colorado loses in regulation. So that's where we stand as far as the games of importance tonight. There's a few games that don't mean anything as far as the standings are concerned. Bruins locked in, Wild eliminated, Jets and the Avalanche, we told you about that. Sharks and Oilers, Oilers done, San Jose's locked into the 2 seed, but here's the thing for San Jose. They've got 2 games left to try to right the ship. They've won 1 in their last 10. They're 1-8-1 in their last 10. So the Sharks have to start winning some hockey games to make you feel better. We told you about the Coyotes and the Golden Knights. So that's where we stand right now with the playoffs are concerned. Huge night tonight of hockey. Friday, there'll be just 3 games, but of course, the big one will be the Columbus Blue Jackets looking to see if they can't clinch a playoff berth as John Tortorella will be at his old stomping grounds at Madison Square Garden. Then everybody but the Ducks play on Saturday, and the Ducks are out of it as well. So how cool would it be to have a bunch of meaningful games on the very last day of the regular season? So it should be a lot of fun. Let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Want to hear from Troy. He says, of all the teams that have been eliminated, who do you expect to come back next season with a team that looks strong enough to go far in the playoffs? So that's a great question because, you know, you look at the teams. Is Montreal going to miss or not? I guess we're going to have to see. But Montreal's got Carey Price. Domi's getting better. Drouin's getting better. Hopefully Weber stays healthy all season long. I think Montreal could be a team that's starting to move in the right direction. Very interested to see what Florida does. A lot of young players. Carter Hart's going to have another year under his belt here. See what they do in the draft. Philadelphia can be one of those teams. Arizona looks like they're an up-and-comer as well. Chicago. Interesting thing about Chicago is they missed the playoffs. They probably would have made it if Corey Crawford was healthy all year, right? Kane, MVP quality season, career year for Jonathan Taves. I think Chicago can be one of those teams. And let's see what Edmonton does during the course of the offseason as well. There seems to be a little bit too much talent there to say that they're completely cooked, but they've got to find the right guy to run their franchise. Calvin says, are the Sharks dead in the water with Jones and Dell in net? The showing against Vancouver was pathetic by Jones. What's your thought on Pearson's second goal? Jones looked to have it, then gets hit by Horvat and loses the puck, and Pearson taps it under him. I'd have to take a look at the highlight. I didn't get a chance to see it, Calvin. I promise you I'll take a look at it later, and I'll probably throw it on the podcast tomorrow. Remind me with a tweet. The more and more I've watched the San Jose Sharks, the more and more I realize their biggest issue is in goal. I don't think there's any question about it. Now, I'm not going to completely tell you that there isn't problems up front, but you got Pavelski back. You're going to get Carlson back. You've got more than enough talent there to be better than what you've been. But has the goaltending really given you a shot when they're allowing 4 or 5 goals, it seems, on 20-25 shots every night? So Jones has been there and done that. He led that team to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final back in 2016. Hopefully it flips on for them. But if you had to target the one biggest issue, it would be goaltending and health. They should be healthy by the playoffs, so right now the focus is going to be totally between the pipes. Jake says, nice to see Brad Marchand reach 100 points this season after he ditched his antics with prior seasons, and it's from prior seasons, and it really helped his game excel. If he can continue to do this, I believe he can become an elite player in the NHL. I think he's already an elite player, to be honest with you. I mean, he gets to play with really quality players, but you start scoring 100 points in this league, then you put yourself on the plateau of being an elite player. Probably would have scored more points if Pasternak didn't miss all that time as well, because they were playing on the same line together. No, he's a special player. And you make a great point, too. You know, the licking of the face, doing all that stuff. You know, sometimes it gets in the way of how good a player he can be. And the attention that he draws sometimes is a negative attention. But I'll tell you, those antics in the playoffs probably will come in handy. But it does look like his game is slowly but surely coming together. And I do think right now I would consider him an elite player. Tom says, Kemper took the stick through the mask on Tuesday. My friend played hockey at Seton Hall, told me that he had that cat's eye style cage, but he wasn't allowed to wear it in games. In practice, he had a puck almost go through and hit his eye. Your thoughts on those masks? Yeah, they're dangerous for sure. We've seen, I remember Brian Boucher had a puck caught between that type of a mask back in the playoffs in the early 2000s. You know, when you look at the amount of traffic that's in front of the net, it's really dangerous for goaltenders now. Because remember back in the day before the lockout when you can clutch and grab and basically hack and cross-check players, it was difficult to stay in front of the net. But now you really can't do that, and now you've got a lot of traffic in front of the goaltender. That's why most of these goals now are tip-ins, they're deflections, they're screens, because there's so many players in front of the net. Those sticks get up, and where do you think they end up? in the face of the goaltender who's focusing on where the puck is going, not all the traffic that's in front of him. So you make a good point, Tom. CP7NY says, what are the chances Islanders get past the first round, and what do you think they do this offseason? Well, during the offseason, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to, I think, try to find a way to maybe strengthen the blue line just a little bit. And I don't know if they really have to do a lot. Center is always a position you're looking for a little depth in, but Lou Lamoriello will figure it out. But the Islanders, I think they're in great shape. If they can get that home ice advantage, I think they can beat Pittsburgh. Having to go on the road might be a little bit difficult, but I would not be surprised if the Islanders get to the conference final. The whole design was avoid the wild card, get in the top three, hopefully get home ice advantage in the first round, and you could be set to make a run. And I think this Islanders team is starting to come together here. Now, they do struggle to score goals sometimes, but you know what? They've got goaltending that's playing terrific. They're really limiting the number of opportunities that teams face in front of him. So I got to say that I think the Islanders are in great shape to go to the conference final. Now, I wouldn't be surprised they're losing the first round either. I mean, Pittsburgh is a really good team. Washington, you got to get through to. They won the Stanley Cup last year, as you know. But I would not be shocked if they made a run. At least to the conference final. Jennifer says Jonathan Toews scored his career high for points. DeBrickett has 40 plus in his sophomore season. Kane has a Hart candidate quality year. Saad plays strong. Crawford is nominated for Masterton after two long stretches off and is playing quite well. You said you had another tweet here. I'm going to try to find where your other tweet is because you said you have one of two. So I'm going to try to find the continuation of that tweet. Here it is. It's everything they need to do. So all of our opinions aside about how the firing of Quinville was handled, how different do you think this season would have been if the staff of the roster had been whole the whole year together? Well, I think it probably would have ended the same, Jennifer. And here's what I'm going to say. There was a lot of infighting with Quinville, and I'm not sure his firing was necessary because the team was underachieving. I think it was more just about the fact that he had been there a long time. I think there was some infighting between Bowman and Quinville. You hear a lot of rumors that I don't want to forward here because I can't substantiate it, but I've heard a lot of things that there was a lot of problems inside that organization with Quinville. The biggest problem for me is the goaltending. If Crawford had been healthy all year, I think this team would have found a way to get into the playoffs. I really do, because you look at Toews having a career year. Kane, if the Blackhawks had made the playoffs, I think would have had an outside chance of winning the Hart Trophy. As you mentioned, this is a fun team, and you still have Seabrook, you still have Duncan Keith. They're getting a little bit older, but I think the goaltending betrayed them. I did, and I'm not sure. Now, could the Quinville situation been handled much better? I guess it could have. The fact that there's a lot of egos inside that room might have been a problem. Hey, he had been there for a long time. Hockey is not built to have coaches be anywhere a long time, no matter how much success they have. So maybe the sand in the hourglass kind of ran out for Quinville, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it would have been all that different had they had the chance to stay as whole. Brendan says, hey, Don, with the AAF folding and Tom Dundon putting as much money into it as he did, could that spell trouble for the Canes moving forward financially? I don't think so, because from what I understand about the money he invested in the Alliance, the American Alliance Football League, whatever it is, AAF, that's basically folded, and you think he invested, I think he ended up losing $70 million in the deal, even though he invested way more than that, was to get control of the app that they developed. So I think it was sort of a financial play for him long term. So even though Dundon pinched pennies with the Chuck Caton situation, and we've outlined that time and time again, quite honestly, I don't think they're hurting for finances. He is committed to this team. This team has had a fun year. I think they're going to make the playoffs, and who knows if they can make some sort of a run, try to avoid Tampa in the first round. That probably would be a good idea. But I do think Carolina is moving forward, and I think they'll be okay financially despite all the money that was lost. Wayne Jones says, what happens to Bruce Boudreau since he did not fulfill his playoff promise? Go Blues. It's interesting because the general manager did not hire Bruce Boudreau. So that's always a recipe for a firing, right? He misses the playoffs. It looked upon the fact that they were underachieved. As you said, they did predict he was going to make the playoffs, and he failed at that. I would not be surprised if he gets let go, and I also would not be surprised if within a week of his firing gets hired by somebody else, because I do think he's a great coach. Courtney, who I got the chance to meet last night, says amazing time at the Garden. Bummed that the Rangers lost, but thanks to Don LaGreca for making it awesome for my mom. Yes, Courtney, who's been a longtime listener to the podcast, told me that she was taking her mom, who's been fighting through some things health-wise, to the first Ranger game, and so I was able to make some arrangements, pull some strings to get her down at ice level for the warm-ups and get him set up with a program and a puck. Unfortunately, the Rangers put up a stinker losing 4-1 last night, but it was great to meet them. I wanted to spend a little bit more time with them, but the section they were in, they're right in the middle of the row, so it was during the game because I was doing the pre and post, so I really didn't get a chance to hang and talk to them, but two amazing people. I'm glad they had a great time at the game. Anything I can do for any listener of this Game Misconduct podcast, because I consider you guys family. And I was surprised how many people I ran into at the Garden on the way to go see Courtney in Section 208 that also listen to the podcast and have a lot of fun with it. So shout out to those guys as well. I do really appreciate you guys listening to it. I'm glad I was able to hook up Courtney. Unfortunately, your Rangers put up a stinker, but you know what? It was good to be at the Garden. A lot of fun. She got to see the McDonald Extra Effort Award that's given out every year to the best Ranger, and it was won by Mika Zibanejad, so he had a chance to see that, see the warm-up. So, unfortunately, you got to see a loss, but I'm glad you had a good time, Courtney. Anything for you and your mom, and I owe your mom a hug because I didn't get a chance to get close enough to hang out with you guys in the arena. I was kind of like a couple of seats away because the place was packed. If you know any arena, when you go into a section and somebody's sitting in the middle of the row, it's tough to get to them when there's so many people in the building kind of sandwiched, sardined together. So I was able to see her, but maybe next time I'll be able to give you a hug. And best of luck with all the things that you're going through for sure. So hopefully by tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Monday, we'll have the details on the Don LaGreca Bracket Challenge. Should be a lot of fun. Want to get in touch with me at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct's the way to do it. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. We got a lot of games to recap. We can get closer and closer to resolution on who's in, who's out, who's got home ice, who's got home ice disadvantage tomorrow. Plus, we'll have our final top five of the season for the top five of the week coming up tomorrow. This has been the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.